Hallelujah. Say to yourself, say, only the truth can set me free. Please, let's just go again. Say, only the truth can set me free. Therefore, I refuse to deceive myself. You see, that's the worst thing you can do to yourself. The greatest enemy is not even Satan. Yeah? Are you with me? Your greatest enemy is not Satan. Your greatest enemy is the state of your mind. And if you deceive yourself, God cannot access you. The word of God may be going, but if your mind is closed, God cannot help you. But when your mind is open and your heart is open, God can help you. Amen? And so let your heart be open and refuse, desperately and vehemently refuse to deceive yourself. Amen? Hallelujah. Let me say something. It's easy to be religious. You know the meaning of religion? Religion means to get into an habit and a tradition and to keep it. Then you are religious. Okay? You can know how to sing in church, how to act holy, how to act nice. You know, you can do acts of kindness. That doesn't mean you know God. You just mastered the art of religion. Hallelujah. You can know how to sing hymns and how to clap. People may even think you are the best Christian around. Yeah? But that doesn't mean, you know, it doesn't affect what's going on in your heart. And that Bible said that that's not what God is looking for. He said the time has come that God is seeking. Can you imagine? Don't you anybody tell them, say, God is seeking. You thought you had anybody seeking for something? God is seeking for something. You know what God is seeking for? He said he's seeking for true worshipers. Those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Just imagine Father God, you know, looking around the whole earth. He's seeking. Hallelujah. And you know who God is seeking for? God is seeking for you. Hallelujah. Because he made you. Hallelujah. Let's go to Revelation chapter 4 verse 11 before we go into the main part of topic today. And the topic today is trust and honor. Can we say it together? And, very dear to my heart. I thought if you could master it, because one of the, you know, our mission in Healing Springs Church is to equip you to live victoriously. And if you master these two words, trust and honor, I assure you, with my whole bank account as a guarantee, that you will live victoriously. If you can master trust and honor. Hallelujah. Revelation 4:11. Let's start with that. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Of course, I have something prepared, but I will vary it from time to time as the Holy Spirit leads me. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Let's just see. Yes. Okay, so we would like to read that. I like people to read, and you know, I like to go around and get people to read. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11.
Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. You are worthy, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and they exist because you created what you pleased.
Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to get the point there. Don't forget it. You see, when God demands you to worship him, he only does it because he's worthy. He's not demanding. It's not like you have something special that God wants to take from you. Everything you have, God gave it to you. He is worthy. He owns you because he made you. Your brain, your beauty, your skills, everything about you, including the food you eat that comes from the ground, yeah? God made everything. Hallelujah. He is worthy to receive glory and honor. Let me even pause there. Just glory and honor. And let me tell you something. Just starting this. Every sin we commit on earth is a sin of dishonor. Anything, think of any sin you commit, it has to do with dishonor. You either dishonor God or dishonor people. Yeah? Every time you dishonor God is a sin. Hallelujah. Because God is worthy. Hallelujah. Say to yourself, say, God made me and is worthy of everything good that can come from my life. Shall I tell you another reason why God is worthy? Because when things show up in your life, who do you run to? God. You see, God is not an undertaker only. He is, but he's not an undertaker only. He's an overtaker. Hallelujah. Eh? God is not just an undertaker. So every time you're in trouble, you run to God. When you're okay, you run away from God. He is worthy. Say to yourself, and you say, God is worthy of my life. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. We are talking about trust and honor. Very important. If I wanted to preach you any message on faith, today is the day. And yet, it will not be your traditional message on faith. This faith. Because if you master it, you are on your way to living victoriously. We are so passionate about living victoriously. The day I discovered that, you know what? God has not left me at the mercy of the devil. I discovered it. So, Father, we're just really begging you, asking you, please, just deliver us from Satan. No, I've just found out that, no, everything I need to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil is provided for. Yeah? You know why? The name of God is what? El Shaddai. So, someone tell me, what's the meaning of El Shaddai? In your own words, El Shaddai, what does El Shaddai mean to you? The name of God is El Shaddai. What does that mean? And don't just say, just get the mic. El Shaddai, what does it mean? Have you ever called God El Shaddai? El Shaddai. Yes, what does El Shaddai mean, Sister PJ? I got you. All right. What does El Shaddai mean, Sister Runke? I got you. what does El Shaddai mean, anybody? El Shaddai. Just be, yeah, mirror, yes. I love that.
Overall God.
Overall God. Yes, that's a nice answer. Not perfect, but it's nice. Yes. What does El Shaddai mean? Yes.
All powerful.
All powerful God. Yes, that's a nice answer. It's a nice answer. Grandma.
God is everyone.
God is for everyone. God is more than enough. Yes, Bratim? El Shaddai. What does it mean?
God Almighty.
God Almighty. Yes, any other answer? Now, all those answers are correct. Now, if you look at your Bible, if you have a Bible that translates the Hebrew word, El Shaddai means the all-sufficient God. You get it? He's all-sufficient. Everything you ever needed is provided for. Hallelujah. Let me explain again. Everything, even the ones you've not thought about, because he's Alpha and Omega. Before you got to the end, he was there. God does not live in time. He lives outside of time. Hallelujah. He sees time, but he lives outside, because both the beginning and the end, he's seen it. Hallelujah. We are the one caught up in time. But the day is coming that we also live outside of time. Hallelujah. When time will be no more. Hallelujah. We'll be dwelling in eternity with God outside of time. Hallelujah. But while we are still in time, God is El Shaddai. He is the God who is more than enough. Say to yourself, say, I serve El Shaddai. Oh no, I don't know you, God. You didn't get it. You have to say it one more time or two more times so you get it. I serve El Shaddai. The God who is more than enough. Nothing can take God by surprise. I know some things take you by surprise. Even myself, some things take me by surprise. But nothing can take God by surprise. Hallelujah. When Satan was going to approach God to try to afflict Job, God knew before he came. Are you with me? And God already knew the solution before he created the problem. Are you with me? Say to yourself, say, God has prepared my solution before my problem ever came up. Now you know where the problem is. The problem is not God. The problem is, how do I connect to the solution that God has already provided before Satan came up with his problem? Now you may ask me a question and say, but why does God allow Satan to come up with problem? Yeah? Why doesn't God just put that Satan into the bottomless pit immediately. And we can all go to rest. Yeah? Are you with me? That day will come. Please turn to your neighbor, tell them. Say, that day will come. We know the end of the story. You see? We know the end. We're not playing. We're not gambling. We know the end of the story. The day is coming when Satan will be bound and thrown in. But why does God allow him now? For £5. Why does God still allow Satan to exist in our world and operate and mess up the life of people the way he likes? Why? Of course, you can only get the price if you get the perfect answer. You have 5 months. It's not that easy to get money. Am I right? Yeah? Yes. Yes, Sister Kemi.
It's to show himself as a sovereign God.
Hallelujah.
So that we can always have God to run back to.
Hallelujah. You are very near. You know, there was that man, that Pharisee that came to Jesus and said, he said, teacher, what is the most important? Mark 12. And he said, well, you love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And the man said, yes, you are correct. Jesus said, you are very near to the kingdom. Hallelujah. Yes. You know why I didn't give you the price? I'm looking for one word. You described it, but you didn't give me the word. And I gave you the clue in Revelations 4:11. This is a PJ. I know you won't get, you can't check Revelations 4:11 already, so that's good. Yeah, I know. That's good. So whatever answer you give is original.
Okay.
I'll give Sister Kemi the first go again after you, just so that others don't have an advantage.
Well, God has given the free will. He wouldn't, you know, force us to come to him. So mm-hmm. It's going to be our choice to, you know, come to him or not, or stay on the other side.
Yes, that's a good answer. Although from another direction, but absolutely true. God wants you to exercise your free will. And your free will is not free until it's tested. Are you with me? Yeah? You are not free to do something until you have a choice not to. Are you with me? When you have a choice not to, then you are free to make that decision. Yeah, but that's not the answer I was looking for. Revelations 4:11. Sister Kemi, do you want to give me that boss word? I'm looking for one word from Revelations 4:11, King James Version. NIV will not help you. Or maybe it will. Maybe. If you have a go, maybe. There's just one word you've read this morning from Revelations 4:11, and that's the reason why God allows Satan to exist. No? No? Is what it is? Yes, I agree, but that's not. No? No? Look for the word. Okay, someone read it. No? Let's read Revelations 4:11. Revelation. Okay. Sister, can we guess my price? Okay? But please read Revelations 4:11. From, read it.
Thou art worthy, O Lord.
To receive what?
Glory.
To receive glory.
And honor.
That's it. That's okay. That's okay, sir. That's okay. God is worthy to receive glory. That's what God wants. Did you know? What God wants most from you is that he can receive the glory. Anytime God receives glory, God is cool. God's happy. It's okay. Hallelujah. Amen. God allows Satan to exist, allows him to create the problem, but God prepares the solution. Now, when you walk with God in faith and obedience, and you move from problem to solution, God receives glory. Satan receives shame. Hallelujah. That's why Satan exists. Actually, in God's mind, the purpose of existence of Satan is to shame him continuously before putting him in final prison. Are you with me? To show him that he lost. And he didn't just lose just by God's raw power. He lost because the human beings who he thought he could manipulate aligned with God to shame him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so say to yourself, say, Satan must not take the glory in my life. Every time you align with the will of God and with the word of God, God takes the glory. Every time you rebel and do your own thing, who takes the glory? Are you with me? Satan will not take the glory in your life in Jesus' name. Go to Proverbs 3. Let's read Proverbs 3. I wanted to read from verse 5 to 10, but I'll read from verse 1. Just because of last week's sermon, I want to take it from there. You will see some overlap. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. No, I won't read. Let someone read. Someone else. Someone who has not read today. Proverbs 3, verse 1 to 10. Yes, just a moment. Just wait. Wait. Let me get a Bible. Okay. Proverbs 3, 1 to 10, please. My child. Are you God's child? You're not sure anymore. Are you God's child? Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm proud for that. Hallelujah. I'm proud to be God's child. Because I know that I'm covered. Amen. I'm located. I have the highest connection that could ever be. You may find yourself sometimes in situations where it appears that like you are in the valley of the shadow of death. Have you ever thought about it? He didn't say just in the valley. He didn't say just in the shadow. You know, sometimes if you're in the shadow, it's a problem. You're not in valley, you're flat land, but it's under a shadow. You think you're confused, you're in trouble. But now you're in the valley. If you're at risk of death, you feel you're in trouble, yeah? Now, look at it. Three together. You're in the valley of the shadow of death. And nobody's standing with you. People may comfort you, but they don't understand what you feel. Have you been there? You are going to something, people say, oh, sorry, sorry. Oh, they may even cry with you, but they don't understand what you feel. And when they are all gone, you are all alone. You know, you can be lonely in the midst of many. Are you with me? But even when you are in the valley of the shadow of death, if you have a relationship with God as your father, you are still His child. Not everybody is God's child. Hello, I can't lie to you. I remember Brother Olumide will be here next week. I can't what? I can't lie to you. I think he's doing something because Paul also said it. He said, I tell you the truth, I lie not. Yeah? Yeah? Not everybody is a child of God. And if you are not a child of God, what are you?
A child of the devil.
The devil. There are two fathers. There's the father of light and the father of lies. I'm quoting Bible. Bible says that God, yeah? He said, every good and perfect gift. This is that type of scripture I read and my head starts swelling. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Now listen. A gift may be good, but it may not be perfect. Hello, are you with me? It may be good, but the end may be destruction. Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man. The end of it is the way of destruction. But if it's good and perfect, we know where it came from. If it's good and perfect together, there's only one source of good and perfect. And it's where? From above. So when I read that, I know I don't need to be afraid of for God. Hallelujah. Now, that's not where I'm going. Bible says that it comes from above. Oh, I think. Let's open it. But Toby, where is that? Did I get you? Sister Ronka, I'm coming back to you. Every good and perfect gift. Yes? Who will be the first person to tell me that? Sister Kemi, you still have your prize? Yes? That answer was the closest. James. Please open to James. James, the book of James. After Hebrew is James. James chapter, yes? Chapter what? 1 and verse 17. James chapter 1, verse 17. Please, let's read it. Someone will help me read. Where's the other microphone? Okay, Sister Ronka is with you. James chapter 1, verse 17. Let's have someone else read, and we'll come back to Proverbs. James 1, 17. Yes, anyone can. Don't be shy. Just wait. There you go.
every good gift, every perfect gift is from God, from God above, and cometh down from the Father of the light.
Father of lights, yes.
Who is the
It's invariable. There's no variableness or shadow of turning. Hallelujah. That's King James, old King James. Yeah. Anybody want to give me a modern version? A more modern version? NIV is welcome. New Living is welcome. Yes. James 1:17. Look at it. Very important scripture.
It says, whatever is good and perfect.
Whatever. Whatever means what? Whatever. If it can combine good and perfect together, you know where it's coming from. Go on.
It's a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens.
Yes.
He never changes.
He never. That means he's trustworthy. That's what I'm going to.
Or cast a shifting shadow.
It's trustworthy. There's something you should just set in your heart. If you are dealing with Jehovah El Shaddai, Elohim, he is trustworthy. Hallelujah. There is no darkness in him at all. I'm reading 1 John 1. It said, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. That means, when I choose to walk God and align my life completely on him, I can be sure that I will not be disappointed. Hallelujah. Every good and perfect, if it's good and perfect, it's coming from above. If there's anything good you want in your life, yeah? The only thing I will beg you is combine it with perfect. Amen? Don't go and steal another man's wife. It may be good, but it's not what? Perfect. Are you with me? I'm just giving an example. Yeah? Don't steal someone's money. It may make you rich, but it's not what? Perfect. But God can give you a wife that does not belong to another man. Or a husband that does not belong to another woman. Do you think that God cannot? He can. But that needs to be what? Good and perfect. God can give you money. You don't know that God can give you money? He can give you money. Hallelujah. For example, if you need £5, just come to church and answer the question, you get free £5. Hallelujah. Something you don't even have to work for. Amen. If it's good and perfect, it's coming from above. And you know what? Because it's good and perfect, it will last. Hallelujah. And you will not only have it, you have peace with it. You have joy with it. You have love with it. Hallelujah. You have hope with it. Hallelujah. There is no fear in love. When you receive a good and perfect gift, there is nothing to be afraid of. Hallelujah. You can enjoy it without fear. Glory to God. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. And you know why? He is the Father of light. There is no shadow. There is no variableness. There is no darkness. There is no, let's trick and deceive. God is not trying to, you know, sometimes you feel as if maybe God is trying to trick you to take something from you. Yeah, he wants to deceive you and take it. So you, what do? You hold on to it tightly. Ah, this one, God. I'm sorry. The little sense you've given me, I will use it well. Yeah? He doesn't want to take anything from you. If there's anything God is asking to release, it's because God needs a seed to create your harvest. There's no harvest. Don't your neighbor tell them, say, there's no harvest without seed. If you believe contrary, you are deceiving yourself. Let's go back to Proverbs 3. I just felt it was good to talk about the goodness of God. When you understand the goodness of God, you understand why you can build your life on him. He is the solid foundation. He is the firm foundation. If you build your life on him, yeah? You may not get rich quick, but you will get rich ultimately if you continue to trust and honor him. If you build your life on him, what you are looking for, you may not get it tomorrow. But you will get it. And when it comes, it will last. Hallelujah. It will last. Even when the devil strikes you, if you're walking with God, he will restore you. Hallelujah. You know what the Bible says? It says when the thief comes, this Old Testament law, and steals something, and they catch him. Old Testament law. He says somebody goes and steals, and they catch him. This Old Testament. He must pay back 7 times. Now, who is the thief? Who is the international, universal thief? Because Bible says the thief does not come but to steal and to kill and destroy. Now, when you are working with God, even if the devil came and succeeded in stealing, what will God do? How many? If you don't believe for 7, that's your own business. But he said, it's in the boy Bible. 7 times. God, if God says in the law that people should restore 7 times, it means that if it applies physically, it can apply what? Spiritually. It's the only limitation is your own belief. If you don't believe, you say, God, I'm not asking you for 7. All I just want is half. Okay? Take it. Manage it. God cannot rise beyond the level of your faith. You know that? Hallelujah. The limitation, yeah, of your life is your ability to trust God and obey God. Now, the problem with most of us is that start the journey trusting God, but we don't complete it with obedience. Yeah? Faith without obedience is dead. Proverbs 3. Everyone can come back to you now. Proverbs chapter 3. Please just jump to verse 5 now. Verse 5 to 10.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil.
What will he do for you?
Then you will have healing for your body.
You will have healing for your body.
And strength for your bones.
And strength for your bones. Amen.
Amen.
Let me take you back a little so we don't miss that blessing there. If you go to Proverbs 3 again, I think it's verse... I just want to show you the blessings of trusting and honoring God so that you know that that is the master key of life. Proverbs. Please read verse 1 and 2. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 and 2.
Okay.
My child.
Never forget things I've taught you.
Don't forget my law, King James.
Store my commands in your heart.
Store my commands in your
heart.
Under your pillow? Yeah? In your handkerchief? Where?
In your heart.
You know where your, you know what your heart is? That is the strongest room of your life. You know that? Your heart is not this pumping thing. That's just your biological. Your heart is your spirit. It's the strong room of your life. The Bible says, store my word in the strongest room in your life. Where the devil can steal it away. Amen? You know how you do that? You keep meditating on it. You keep meditating on it. You keep meditating on it. It goes there. And it's very difficult for the Satan to steal it away. What will it do for you when you do that?
If you do this, you will live many years.
You will what?
Live many years.
You see that? Is it unconditional? Is your, the length of your life unconditional? Is it predetermined? No, it's conditional. Hallelujah. Are you with me? It's conditional. It doesn't even matter. Maybe they've written it. Maybe in your family people die early. You don't have to die early. Except you accept it. Hello? You know how you accept it? By saying it. So, my people are dying early. I don't know when I will die, but I'm not planning to live long, too long. You accept. You can't open your mouth and accept rubbish from the devil. You open that mouth and say, no. The Bible says that if I do this, I will live long. It does not depend from where you came from. That's why God, when you got born again, you know what God did? He changed your fatherhood and your motherhood. He said, now I am your father. Hallelujah. That doesn't mean you are not still the biological child of your parents. You are still. But it means that there is now a super higher level of relationship. Yeah, that when that fails, it's there. I kept saying, you can't take your father with you everywhere. Abby, do you agree? Hallelujah. Is that what someone is talking not nicely? Say, well, if when I call my father and you see my father, okay, this may not be popular here, but in Nigeria, just wait for me. A phone call, the person will run because if they see that father, they're in trouble. Hallelujah. But God is with you, even in the valley of the shadow of death. He said, call upon me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know. He said, in the day of trouble, call out to me. I don't want to go there, but if you go there, you see what he says. He said, call out to me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. Then he said, and you will glorify me. That's the purpose. The purpose of everything God did for you is so that he will take glory. If God is not taking the glory and the honor in your life, you are really, really, really hurting him. Are you with me? How many people like to be blessed? I mean, if you don't like to be blessed, it's okay. Just put up your hands and tell us the reason. When I say blessed, I mean, how many people want God to bless them every day? Every day. Okay. How many people want to bless them just only 6 days of the week? Okay. How many people are okay with God blessing them just one day of the week? Are you with me? You want God to bless you, isn't it? It's a good thing. Say to your neighbor, say it's a good thing to live in the blessing. But you know, don't make the mistake and think that God blesses everybody. If God blesses everybody, we should just close the Bible and go home. We don't need any church anymore. You know why? It doesn't depend on us, isn't it? God will bless you. Hallelujah. If God blesses everybody, there will be no if in the Bible. There will be no what? If. Hallelujah. Now, don't also believe that, you know, God blesses randomly. If God blesses randomly, yeah, then God is not reliable. It means that if I'm trusting God now, but his blessing is random, all my trust could be in vain. Yeah? It's not reliable, it's not dependable if it's randomly. So we don't know what God will do, you know? He say, awesome, you know, I'm looking for the word. God is an unfathomable. You can't phantom God. Yeah, that could be true in a way because you can't know the limits of God. But I tell you something. If all you did for a lifetime is study the word, you will still be getting new revelation till you die. Are you with me? You can phantom this one if you are ready. Hallelujah. And this will show you the keys to the blessing. I tell you, the two keys to blessing is trust and honor. If you trust God and you honor God, you will live within the blessing. Are you with me? Let me just quickly explain this before we progress. I explained to you that in a way, God blesses everybody. Yeah? But don't misunderstand that blessing. As I was saying in home fellowship, God causes his rain to fall on both the good and the evil. You know what that's called? I don't call it blessing. I call it mercy. Hallelujah. It's what? Mercy. God's mercy is available to all. You know why? Because without his mercy, nobody will be saved. Not even me. Do you understand? And God does not want you to worship him by force. You know who wants you to worship him by force? It's the devil. He said, if you bow down to me, I will do this and this and this. Or if you compromise. Or if you... But God, you know how God wants you to worship him? God wants you to taste of his mercy. And that's because of the mercy of God that you receive, it will bring you to repentance. Hallelujah. And then you can now enter the blessing. Now listen, don't misunderstand me. Now don't say because I'm born again. Yeah? Now, I'm living in the blessing. Yes, that's true. But that's not the way it works. There's no one key for all. Any part of your life that you are honoring God, you will live within the blessing. I don't care if you are a Christian for 30 years or 40. Any part of your life that you dishonor God, you cannot live within the blessing that applies to that part of your life. Are you understanding me? Let me tell you why. Because God cannot commit himself to the success of a rebel. Imagine someone is rebelling against God. He's rebellious. He's my rebellious son, but I must make him succeed. Because that will not what? Glorify God. Are you with me? Any part of your life that you honor God in, you will live within the blessing. You are still a child of God. Don't misunderstand me. But any part of your life that you say, God, I will have my own way. I know you are God, but you know, this is my life. Only one life to live. Yeah? That part, God will allow you to have your own way. If you like, fast and pray and be asking for blessing in that area, you are just deceiving yourself. You know why? Because God cannot break his word. Hallelujah. He said he has lifted up his word above his name. So that means that when God breaks his word, he has denied his name. Are you with me? So wherever you honor God in your life, you will live in the blessing. Wherever you dishonor, he will show you mercy. Are you with me? God is what? Merciful. Otherwise, we will all be destroyed. So in that part of your life that you are being disobedient, he will show you mercy. But the purpose of mercy is to bring you to repentance so that you can enter the blessing. Are you with me? Now let's quickly drive home that point. Go to First Samuel. Anybody in this church called Samuel? He's not around today. Don't worry. The next moment I will read from Isaiah. Yeah? Hallelujah. Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And I want you to read verse 30. Very important key. This is where, you see why this message is very important to you is that this is where Christians of today are missing it. They will say, I love God, I trust God. It's a good father. It's who you are. He's who you are. He's who you are. Let's sing. And I'm loved by you. He's who I am. He's who I am. He's who I am. One more time. You're a good father. He's who you are. He's who you are. He's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. 'Cause you're perfect in all of your ways. He is. Say the Lord. He is perfect in all of your ways. To me. Let's break that song down. I want to break it down and then we round up. All they want to hear is, I'm loved by God. God is my father and he loves me so much. In fact, he's madly in love with me. Yeah? Now that's true. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, that's true. It's like when you give birth to a baby and you give them milk. It's good, isn't it? You have to start with milk, isn't it? But when that baby is now 3 years old and they are still feeding only on milk, Mr. Mary, what will you do to them? Okay, the rhetorical question, yeah? Hallelujah. You have to move on from milk. You can't feed on milk forever. Are you with me? You can't feed on milk forever. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 30. Let's read. Now please understand me. When I come here to pray, I'm not trying to pull you down. I'm trying to take you up. Hallelujah. I don't have time to pull anybody down. There's a lot of pulling down in the world. That's why you see the gospel is good news. What the gospel does to you is to free you. Hallelujah. It frees you from the lie of Satan. And it sets you free to live like God created you to live. And one of the things I found, you know, things I found in my Christian life, working with God, is freedom from fear. Hallelujah. You know how you can be free from fear? The Bible says the righteous, they are as bold as a lion. Hallelujah. When you walk with God and you allow the truth of God to confront you, you embrace the truth, you cooperate with the truth, there's no more fear. Even there will be trouble, but there's no fear. Because you know who to go to in the time of trouble. Hallelujah. And because you are in right relationship with him, you can expect that he will deliver you. And you can expect that you will glorify him. And like I keep emphasizing, it's not about being perfect all the time. It's about connecting with the person who is perfect, who is God. When I miss it, I don't waste time trying to justify and excuse myself. What do? I run back to God. He said we should come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. It's available to all. And then after we obtain mercy, what do? We find grace to help. It's a higher level. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. Let me begin to zoom in into that. I want to really talk, you know, a bit more about honor and break it down, and then we round up. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. Let's have someone read. Thank you. I'll come back to you finally. Yes, we would like to read 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. Yes.
1 Samuel 2:30. It reads, "Therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now say the Lord says, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed."
Are you with me? Now, the background to that was Eli. And Eli was a priest of the Lord, descended from Aaron. God promised Aaron, all your sons shall be priests forever. But Eli did not honor God. He did not teach his children well in the ways of the Lord. The children of Eli, the two sons, they profaned the temple of the Lord, or the altar of the Lord. And the Lord has to come back and say, look, you know, he said, those who honor me, don't forget, that's the key to blessing. Hello, that's the key. It applies on a human level, isn't it? It applies if you're a king, who are those who you will honor? It's the people that honor you. If someone goes around and begin to disgrace the name of the king or the kingdom, will they honor the person? No. In fact, you'll be praying that God should drive the person as far away as possible, or bring them to repentance. Are you with me? Those who honor me, I will honor. Do you know what it means for God to honor you? Yeah? There's only one word for it. It's called blessing. It means that whatever that person is doing, that they are failing, you will do it and succeed. And not because you are smarter than them. It means that in the part of the job that is most difficult, everybody is running away from, you will go there and you will just get it done. Everybody come and say, how did you get it done? You say, I don't know. It must be God. That's honor. Amen? It means that when even people gang up against you to pull you down, they will do their best. And yet, instead of going down, you'll be going. That's what it means that God will honor you. But the key is that you got to what? Honor him. Your honoring God is a seed you have to plant. Every time you plant your seed, yeah, you are concerned, dead. You sacrifice that seed, you let go of it, you plant it. Yeah? That's honor. And then God, no human being, no scientist has ever made a seed grow. The life of the seed is in the seed. Who put it there? God. The best we can do as human beings is do what? To plant the seed. No scientist can make a seed produce fruit. Only God. Hello? That's why someone says, I don't believe in miracles. I say, I'm a scientist. And I do everything by what I see. Yeah? I don't believe in miracles. Okay, if that is so, take your mango seed and eat it. You don't believe in miracles, isn't it? So you know what you see. So take your mango seed and what? Eat it. Since that's what you see. Your mango seed cannot give you a mango fruit until you do what? Until you bury it under the soil and leave it to God. Only God who can make it grow. And even when it starts growing, you can't eat it. When it becomes a tree, you can't eat it. Until what? God makes the fruit to come out. Then you now go and eat it. Open that your big mouth and say, I don't believe in miracles. It's a miracle. You cannot even live without a miracle. Because all the food we eat comes from miracle. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. And all the time, the Lord is good. He said, when you honor me, I will honor you. But I want to get the second point. Because I know in this generation, all we want to hear is one side. Yeah, you don't want to see the other side. You want to people to tell you, oh, the front of your shoe is so nice. It's beautiful. Well, Polly, what of the behind? Are you with me? I know you can't see it, but it's there. He said, those who despise me, what will I do to them? You know the way of like this thing? Please interpret it in your mother tongue. Try to understand what I'm trying to say. Those who dishonor me, I will lightly esteem. That means they amount to nothing in my priority. They will still get mercy drops. Don't misunderstand me. Mercy drops is available. Oh, but it's a drop. Mercy drop. But the blessing comes from obedience or honor. Hallelujah. Let me just repeat it. In every part of your life that you honor God, you don't have to fast about it. If you honor God, God will what? He will honor you. And any part of your life, you keep despising God. You give his glory to another. You take God's glory. You know that was the sin of Satan? Did you know? The sin of Satan is that Satan took God's glory and he wanted it for himself. The next minute, he dropped down to earth. There was no battle. Bible says he fell like lightning. You know lightning speed? Zoom! So that's why he came to the earth to terrorize, you know, all these little sons of men. Are you with me? He tried to take God's glory for himself. Let's not misunderstand it. This is the way it works. The glory and the honor belongs to God. Then the blessing belongs to you. You see, God is not trying to hoard the blessing. You know why? He made it for you. Whether it's a blessing of health, divine health. And when I talk divine health, there is no limit. I don't care whatever. I don't even care how much history. We don't talk of El Shaddai. The God who made a barren woman of 90 years to bear a child until today is still a nation. Are you with me? There's no limitation. But all God wants is to honor him, and then he will release the blessing to you in a way that will glorify him. There are some blessings that God will not release to you because you know that when you get that blessing, that's the end of the story. In fact, actually, it could be better if it was the end of the story. Are you with me? But for some people, it's not the end of the story. They will not take that blessing and go and use it to commit atrocity in a way that will seriously dishonor God. Tell me, if you're a loving father, will you release that blessing? Are you with me? Those who honor me, I will honor. I'm coming back to Proverbs to round up. But two more places. I take it to Timothy. Then I take it to Proverbs. And we round up by 12:30. I will. So let's go first. Now, what I'm taking to Timothy is this. I know some people, you may be seated there and you're thinking, well, that was Old Testament. You know what I mean? I just read from 1 Samuel 2:20. It says, those who honor me, I will honor. So it's that was Old Testament. We are not in Old Testament. Are we in Old Testament? No. We are now where? And new. The problem is that when people keep talking like that, all the revelation of God happened for 6,000 years, they will lose it. Because God has been revealing himself since Adam to Malachi. He has demonstrated who his character, who he is, how he deals with people. If you don't read the Old Testament, you will not understand God. Are you understanding me? Because God does not change, isn't it? So we can expect that what we see of God's character in the Old Testament remains the same. Are you with me? But let's go to New Testament. Because I know, Sarah, we are now in the age of grace. So don't worry about that. God will bless everybody. God bless everybody. So I want to show you something you've read in New Testament. Because as I was meditating on it early this morning, the Lord showed me something I've never thought about it before. That's Revelation. Let's go to it. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want you to read verse 12. So after that, we go to Proverbs and we round up. Are you getting blessed this morning? Are you getting blessed this morning? Is that Frida? It's your birthday. Yeah, hallelujah. Double blessing. In Jesus' name. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Is there a brother Timothy in the house? 2 Timothy chapter 2. And if you are there, look at verse 12. And 13. I'll give you the mic, Dad. No, 12 and 13. Yeah. 12 and 13.
2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12 says, if we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us.
What? If we what?
He will deny us. Chapter 10 is saying, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is.
Amen. Thank you, Dad. God bless you. Amen. Let me show you something there. So, I've just showed you Old Testament backed up by what? New Testament. Now, please don't misunderstand me. It doesn't mean that if you deny God in a part of life, he will now just, you know, reject you. No. In that part, are you listening to me? If I honor God in my finances, yeah, by paying my tithes and offering, because, look, let's understand it. The natural man does not want to give away even £5. Especially if you worked hard for it. Yeah, are you with me? It takes faith to release. So, your tithe, it takes what? Faith. Because you're thinking to yourself, how can I pay 10% when I could just, you know? It's the same as a farmer. You harvest yam and you have to leave some for planting. When you could have eaten it. Are you with me? It takes faith. But if I don't know God in my finances, he will what? He will bless me in my finances. Something beyond my hard work. Amen? If I honor God in my marriage, by being faithful and loving, he will what? He will give me the blessing that comes from that. Sometimes we pray and say, oh God, bless my marriage! Then you go ahead and break all God's word about the marriage. Hello? Are you with me? It's a wasted prayer. I was saying to Unknown Fellowship, I said, if you want to know whether your prayers are effective, keep a tally. If the answer to your prayer is still less than 50%, it's not yet effective, because you can throw a dice, you will get head or tail. But when you start praying and you are getting 70%, always, you know that, yeah, my prayers are what? Effective. Now, that doesn't mean you should give up on praying. It just means you should have a growth mindset to move to the next level. Amen? Are you with me? Any part of your life you honor God, he will honor you. If you open your mouth and gossip and slander and talk rubbish about people, yeah? You now pray, say, Father, deliver me from evil. The problem is that he will deliver you. God is trying his best to deliver you. The only problem is that every time he was trying to deliver you, you yourself, you go and throw yourself back into. It's like when I talk about it, I say, if you look for trouble, you will what? Find it. So don't look for it. Are you with me? He said if we deny him, he will deny us. It's very simple. Now, but that's not where I was going. That's part of it. Look at the next one. I got a revelation here today and it really meant a lot to me. Look at, please don't miss it. If you miss anything today, don't miss 2 Timothy 2:13. Look at it. Let's read together. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. Now, I want that from Amplified Version. I want to show you something, a major key there today. Something you should not miss. Amplified. 2 Timothy 2, 13. Amplified Version. Yes? Amplified Version. Yes. We are rounding up, so don't worry. A few minutes will be done. 2 Timothy 2, 13.
Second Timothy 2:13, it says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful.
He remains faithful.
True to his word. And his righteous character.
For
he cannot deny himself.
Amen. I wanted to go deeper because there's another Amplified Version that is the classic. It's even has more detail. But don't worry, I won't go because of time. Okay? Let me explain this to you. You know when we sing that hymn, we say, Great is thy faithfulness. Let's sing it. O Lord, my Father, there is no shadow of turning. We read that from James. Thou changest not, thy compassion they fail not. Yes? Great as thou hast been, thou forever. Now, chorus. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All that has needed thy hands approve. Last line. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Please, I want to explain something to you. You need to take it with wisdom. It's not you that God is faithful to. But God can be faithful to you. Please get it. Essentially speaking, it's not you that God is faithful to, but God can be faithful to you. God is faithful to his word and his righteous character. Anytime you align with God's word and God's character, you can say, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Hallelujah. Anytime you drift away from the word of God and God's righteous character, God will extend mercy to you, but he cannot be faithful to you, the breaking of his word. You know why? Because he cannot deny himself. Are you with me? God is faithful to his word. And if you want God to be faithful to you, you align yourself where? To his word. That's the winning side. Hallelujah. Any part of your life, it's not wholesale. God will never reject you wholesale. Are you listening to me? God will never deny you wholesale because he's a good God. Hallelujah. He's a good father. But any part of your life, you are living in rebellion or disobedience. God cannot be faithful to rebellion. But what he will do to you, he will extend to you a hand of mercy so that you can come back because he's a loving father. Hallelujah. He is faithful to his word and his righteous character because his word cannot be broken. And that's why he cannot deny himself. So finally, let's read Proverbs 3:10, 9 and 10. We round up there. Proverbs 9 and 10. Let's all read together.